It's all right. I had enough.
Could have been the fifth question. I think it's one of those devices like Men in Black, where it goes like this, and you don't remember anything.
Oh yeah, I got lots of time for that. I'm not preparing enough classes.
Divisiveness is equality.
I'm not giving enough classes. You're right. Okay. Good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam Hilchos Gerushin Perek Yud Halacha Ches. You'll be happy to know you ordered the next set of Rambams.
The next volume.
You're okay. Volume is going to be the last three sections. We'll be finished with Hilchos with Nashim.
What's the next topic?
Yivam Chalitza. But I might skip because I might want to do a short one because we're going to be breaking soon. So
where are we breaking? We're going with you.
Okay, so we might jump to Sota. Maybe we'll see. It's in the same book.
That's not pizza.
Either way, we're going to finish that volume and be finished.
Right, we're not breaking until August, right?
I'm leaving August 1st.
That's still a month.
But for
away.
What? 2 weeks.
Okay, let's go ahead. Yes. Okay, now more intricate cases now. We were talking all these cases where the woman thought she was divorced, thought the husband died, married another guy, the guy came back, all kinds of problems. You gotta get a divorce from both of them, can't live with both of them. So we continue this exciting theme, the next couple of halachas where it relates to Yibum now. So in the Masnaim text, we're on page 174 and 175, halacha ches. V'chein adin, gotta be careful here now. Ve'achin shikideish echod isha ve'holach achiv. So a man, they're brothers. Now one brother, brother A, gives a kiddushin, not a nisun, a kiddushin to a woman, and he goes away, and we think he's dead. You know, he's gone. He's gone. Vishamabon, we hear about him. Shemes, he died. We hear about him that he died. Okay. Witnesses came back and said he died. So what's the next brother gonna do? There are no kids. Vayibim es ishto. And the guy did yibim as he's supposed to. And then guess what happens? Then the good, dear old brother returns. So now the fact that there was a kiddushin, so she has the status of an Ashes Ish, 100%. And not just Ashes Ish, but Ashes Ach, two ervas. Married woman and the brother's wife, only when the brother's alive, you can't marry your brother's wife when the brother's alive. Only, the only exception is the brother's dead without kids. So it's a double barrel isser. So clearly, Teitze Mizeh, she has to leave this one, Umizeh, and the other one. Utsricha get Mizeh, Umizeh. And she needs a divorce from both of them the same way as we said before. From the first one, she needs a divorce because she never was divorced from the first guy. Right, for sure. I mean, not Torah, she needs a divorce because that's his wife. And the second one needs it rabbinically. Why? Because the commenters explain over here, he needs a get from the second guy rabbinically because people shouldn't say that maybe there was a condition. You know, remember, he only gave her a kedushin. The first husband only gave a kedushin.
Oh.
Right? So now, if people are going to figure, and now the second brother married her, and now, so they figure maybe there's some conditions in the kedushin that weren't met. And therefore the first kedushin wasn't a good kedushin, and therefore the second kedushin was an absolutely good kedushin that people might think. And therefore, because the guy came back, since the first brother came back, what's going on over here? Figured, I guess the first marriage was a kedushin, but never went through. Never went through, and I guess that the conditions were broken. We were going to think that the second marriage is a bona fide marriage completely. And now, and if he doesn't give her a get, they're going to think a woman leaves without a get, and that could be a terrible mistake. So therefore, you got to get a divorce from both of them. It's interesting. The commentary in your book adds, but what if she actually was married to the first husband? Not just a kiddushin, but totally married to the right. So now, so he said, the comment says, a get is not required from the second husband. Because when the brother returns, everybody realizes the marriage to the second bride was not binding. Because this isn't just a second guy marrying a woman like the other cases. This is a guy marrying his brother's wife. All right, that's already serious business over here. So that's clearly, who would marry his brother's wife? So then obviously everybody knows that there was a big mistake over here, and the marriage was never really a marriage to begin with. Don't make any mistakes. They're not going to think the conditions were just not, were broken. They'll know the marriage was completely not a marriage, and so therefore, if actually the first husband, she was married to the first husband, the second husband would not have to give a get at all. Because there was no marriage. And no one's going to make a mistake now either, because they're all going to know clear it was a mistake. When the brother comes back, they know that way. When the case we had before where she was married to one guy and we thought they got the divorce, then the second guy's got the divorce, well, we'll make a mistake. They lived like marriage, they think. Then they got divorced. You have to give a divorce. You can't just leave. But here, when the brother comes back, you know, everyone knows that the second marriage wasn't a marriage to begin with.
If it wasn't a marriage, the child wouldn't be a momzer?
A kid could be a momzer, but the kedusha wasn't. That's worse. That is a classic case of momzer.
She's an ashes ish.
That's the classic case of momzer. An ashes ish with somebody else.
Regardless,
you have relations with an erva, the kid's a momzer. It's clear.
So she was trying to do a mitzvah.
Doesn't have to be an erva.
Right.
She's forced to.
So, okay, so you hear. So, therefore, if she was really married to the first husband, then she would not need a get from the second husband. Now, look what the Rush says. Rush goes further and says that when the woman was married to the first brother, then she and the first husband can continue to live as husband and wife.
What was that?
She can stay with the first husband when he comes back, despite the fact she made this error.
Shkaga.
Okay.
His choice, not her choice.
Right?
It's her choice.
Because this is a classic error, and the Kedushin wasn't Tosin at all, and they thought they were doing a mitzvah. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch follows the Rambam's opinion, says can't marry, and the Rambam follows Rabbeinu Asher, says mamish. Wow. Very, very tricky halachas over it. But it's a unique situation because they're brothers, so that makes it a different situation.
In the old days, the chalitza, was it her choice or his choice? Isn't it his because we're married?
Yes, it's his choice.
What if she doesn't want to marry him?
If she doesn't want to, I guess she would. But generally, she would. But if she doesn't, I guess you encourage a chalitza as well.
Because we're embarrassing him.
Okay, so that's case number one. That's Ulan. And also V'cholot Bar Meleba and everything else we said about Mizonos and Ksuva, all those things we talked about, same halachas. We're still in Ches. Now another halacha. V'chein im Kidesh Isha, what if the guy gave a Kiddushin to a woman? Now not the man goes away, but the woman goes away. V'holcha L'medina Cheres, and the woman goes to another city. Okay, wait. V'shama, and they hear from two reliable witnesses, Shemesa, that she died. Okay, now, what can the husband do now? And what does the husband do? Venasa achos, and now he marries the wife's sister, which, if she was alive, would be totally forbidden.
Right.
But now that she's not alive, would be totally permitted. And then afterwards, after he's married to the sister, what happens? We found out Shlomes, the first wife, didn't die. So now, same thing. They both need a get from him, as we'll see why in Halacha Yud will be explained. Okay? But this was all it was just a kiddush, the first woman. Just made a kiddushin, not married totally, just a kiddushin with her. We say that Halacha. Now we move on to Halacha Tes, and we're going to have to go on to Tes and Yud. We got to wait, got to be patient. Now, so all three Halachas are going to continue now. What if the first wife he married or had an assumed was living with husband and wife, and that first wife went away,
died.
They heard that she died, and married the sister, and then when it comes out we see the sister, first sister wife, is alive. Again, the second sister does that. That's what we spoke out in the first halacha with the brother. Now the Gemara is saying explicitly, the second sister does not need a get. And his first wife is permitted. Because everyone knows it was a mistake in marriage. It wasn't with a kiddushin, because when we could think maybe the tonight didn't go through. But if it's a marriage, everyone knows he would not have married the sister, because you know you're not allowed to marry the sister. So the kiddushin was never toe-faced, it never happened. And this was strictly a case of znus by shogeg, 100% by shogeg. There's no two ways about it. And therefore, since you're not giving a get, so therefore the first wife is permitted. because never was the sister of the divorcee. Never was the sister.
Because
she's not a sister of a divorcee. Right. If the second sister would have to give a divorce, then the first sister couldn't marry, because that would be the sister of the divorced wife. But since the wedding never take place, so therefore he can stay with the wife that he has.
So there are. I understand really the difference between the last case.
It's the same. Well, one is with a kiddushin and one was with a nisuin.
It's actually,
when there's a nisuin, we don't require a divorce, so then it doesn't bring back a problem back in the first one.
It's funny, if you go further along in the marriage.
But if it's a kiddushin, so less kiddushin does require a get from the second one, because you figure maybe the first wedding wouldn't be wasn't a marriage.
But
therefore, you have to have a get once you give me a get.
The kiddushin is rabbinical. I mean, the get is rabbinical in that.
It doesn't matter. I agree.
It's not a
but people are going to see it's a problem.
But if it's erusin only, he can't go back to the first one either?
Correct. Well, that would be the machlokas, the rush. Well, no, he couldn't. That's right. Couldn't go back. Okay. V'chein sharayas. And the same halach with any of the arayas. You know, any two people you can't be married to, the same scenario would come out. You married someone thinking you could. Then you found out it was an error you couldn't be married to. You don't need a get. Because no kiddushin is tovs. Now, halacha yud is now going to go back to the end of halacha ches, where we said that if was engaged, only kiddushin, then you got to get a divorce from the second wife. Ram didn't give the reason. We spoke it out. But now he's going to go back. So in yud, he's going back to the end of ches. Okay, the man was kiddush. We gave a kiddushin to the first wife, and then married the second sister. So Marma Mass, so get. So why is this a sister of the one that he was engaged to, the second wife? Why does the second wife need a get? Shema Yomer, because people might mistakenly think that the first marriage wasn't a marriage, because maybe figured maybe Tanai Hoiber Erisin. Maybe the first marriage, the Erisin, had a condition. Ukadas, and the condition wasn't fulfilled. And therefore they got a mistaken thing, Ukadas, and according to proper law, Nosachosi married the second wife. And now once you think that she can be married, you can't just let her leave. You're gonna think, oh, you can leave without getting a divorce? And more than that, now that second sister has to have a divorce, so now she becomes Achosahi Shehi Arusasa Rishona Asura. The first wife is Asur. Why? Because we don't make a mistake and think the guy married now that is the sister's divorcee. Can't marry your wife's sister who you divorced that wife. And now this woman has been divorced. You're going to think, oh, but really this is only rabbinic divorce. But they're not going to know it's a rabbinic divorce. So it's a rabbinic causing another rabbinic, and therefore he can't go back to that first wife. Okay. Next interesting section. Yudav. Now, this next line is also very confusing, but we'll try to make it as confusing as possible. Kosova Sefer, the Sefer writes the get. Viton made a mistake. Vinosan get la'ish, he gave the get to the man. Vishover la'isha, and the receipt to the woman. Now, normally, what's supposed to happen is, the husband gives the wife a get, and now the husband needs to have some kind of receipt that he, in fact, gave her the get, and paid up the ksuv and all these other things. So
from her,
yeah, he has to get it. Now it could. Now what normally is supposed to happen is, you know, there's a lot of ways it could happen, and that's where there's like all kinds of discussion over here. You know, who's getting what? And there's a little bit of discussion exactly. But the wrong person got the wrong thing. That's the bottom line over here. If you look in footnote 31, it says the wording of the Rambam is a bit confusing. Because the scribe is supposed to give the get to the husband, and that's what the Rambam writes. And then the husband gives it to the wife. So what was wrong? But the intention of Rambam means, as you look in the Gemara, it says that really the scribe gave the man the receipt and the woman the get, and then they exchanged. So instead of giving the get to the man and the receipt to the woman, and the man gives her the get and she gives him the receipt, he reversed it. He gave the woman the get. The sofer gave the woman the get, gave the husband the receipt, and then they exchanged.
The husband and wife are supposed to exchange it, but they had the wrong thing.
They had
the
wrong ones. That's the point. In other words, the husband's supposed to give her the get, she gives him the receipt. And the sofer mixed it up. Yeah. They don't know. One piece of parchment, another piece of parchment, right? So, you know, and everyone just trusts the sofer knows what he's doing, right? He knows what he's doing. So the sofer made a mistake. So what happened, really? The wife gives the man the get, The husband gives the woman the receipt. So what effectively did not happen?
Nothing.
The husband and wife didn't do anything wrong, but the sofer messed up badly. Now you can see what's going to happen next, right? So now what? So that's what happened. Oh, or shetohem, or not only the sofer made the mistake, the husband and wife made the mistake. V'natal habala get, the husband ends up getting the get. V'natla hi ashofer, she takes the receipt. Ukamedulam, and they both think she's kosher, that she's been divorced properly, but she hasn't. Uliachas, but after a little while, harei haget yotze mitachas yedei ish, and now we see a couple months later, the husband has the get in his hand.
Oops.
So now, you know, everyone like looked at the documents after a couple months. I says, hey, I got a get. So now, let's see what happens. So now, let's take it slowly. Imlon, he says, if she hasn't gotten married yet, then what's he supposed to do? Well, first of all, Hareza and Regresha, this woman's not divorced. Vinis Gala, however, it's been revealed, Shadayan Lonis Garsha, that she's never been divorced yet. So what should the man do? Now give that very same get. That get is still valid. It's a valid get. When would she becomes considered divorced? For the time he gives it to her right now, 3 months later. So that's not such a bad case because nothing happened. But of course, the next case is. But what if Ivni says? What if she did already get married before the guy realizes a get? Then the husband whips out the get and says, "Listen, dear, you've never been divorced from me." Why? Sure, I get, but Yodi, the guy that stole my hand, well, again, Yodi never came into your hand. Now here, we do not believe him. We don't listen to him to forbid her to her second husband. We assume she is divorced. And the get fell from her hand. I'll explain in a minute. And now he find it, and he after the get, and he wants to just make trouble. He only came to make her forbidden to the second husband, and he's not believed to make problems for the second guy, because we're assumed there's some trick going on over here. Maybe they switch stars or whatever. In other words, again, we only know by what the husband's saying. We can't assume it's the truth.
Weren't there witnesses for him giving?
All the witnesses know is that there was change, Doc. And everybody, believe me, if somebody thought it was going wrong right away, right, say, hey, you got the wrong thing. So everybody thought it was the right thing.
Right.
Now, the question is like this. The husband's coming 3 months later. The woman gets married. The husband says, hey, look, I got to get her. Now, we don't know if the husband's telling the truth. Maybe God knows. I mean, not maybe. God for sure knows what's going on. But let's say the husband says, you know, this was a mistake.
I mean, maybe he heard that she lost the get, so then he made up this new one.
So we don't know. So if she's not been married yet, what's the worst thing that can happen? In other words, we don't really know if this is the scenario that's being suggested. The husband's saying, you know, we got the wrong documents. So if she hasn't been divorced, okay, we'll believe you. It's not hurting anybody. Give it to her right now. And at least we know for sure she's divorced from now. But if now the husband's claiming this after she got married, she says, oh, well, now you woke up. There's a good chance maybe really she had and she lost. You want to make problems for her. So we can't really, and since we don't know the truth, right? I guess if the woman really, you know, checked her thing and didn't, let's figure out what could another scenario be. The wife for sure doesn't think she has the wrong document, because if she did, you can bet your boots. You commit 2 days later, if she looked at, let me see this get. Hey, this is a receipt. What's going on over here? She'd immediately go to bed and then fix it up.
Yeah.
Right? So she doesn't think anything's wrong, and could be maybe never anything was wrong. Maybe she really did get the get and she'd lost it.
Maybe she's not literate. Maybe she couldn't read the get.
Okay. When she goes to get married for the second time, don't they ask to see her get? Or a receipt for it or something before they marry her?
Well, maybe they called up the Beis Din and they checked the records of the Beis Din. They called up Rabbi Ox, and Rabbi Ox says she got a get.
She may have gotten a receipt.
So she wouldn't have looked at it.
She may have gotten a receipt.
She could have gotten an extra receipt, maybe a third receipt she could have gotten. Or you called the Beis Din, and the Beis Din says, yeah, we gave her a get, and they don't even know that they made a mistake.
Okay.
That can also happen, right?
But is it, we don't believe him, or we don't believe him, wink, wink? Like, is it?
Well, we don't know. All we know is what people are saying. Rambam's setting up the scenario, basically he's just saying what the claims are. We don't know. How would we know if it really was a mistake? The husband's saying it was a mistake. Okay, so if she didn't get married, we'll accept. That was the case. We'll accept that that's what happened. But if she's already married, now it's going to make her. The kid's a momzer, and she should be HCC. All these problems, and they get divorced. wait a minute, that's not the same as when a husband walks back when we thought he was dead. Then we know the emes. Here, the guy is suggesting what the emes is. We have no, how can we ever prove? If we knew it's exchanged again, we would have fixed it right away.
Sure.
So it's only a claim. It's the best is a claim. So the claim, we don't accept the claim.
If she's convinced that he's telling the truth, should she voluntarily?
That could be a problem. But it would be hard for her to be convinced it's the truth, because how could she know it's the truth? How would
she has the receipt.
Now, unless she really has the receipt, and she says, here's the receipt, it's the only thing I've read, I've been watching since they got it, okay, then it could be different. Or maybe it could, even then I don't know if they're going to be believed, because maybe the wife might be in cahoots with the husband. Maybe she didn't like the second husband. And she goes to the first husband, do me a favor, and say that this is what the story is, and maybe it wasn't. So even then I don't think we can believe it, because maybe they want to make a trick. So therefore, in other words, this is the kind of thing, if you found out, we should have known about it, and it's very coincidental, you waited until after the wedding, so it's not as believable. Okay, Yud Beis, because it's not for sure. Now you're trusting people's words. That is, we're not going to trust to make people a mamzer and to make the marriage nullified just because he says so. You know, even if the husband and wife both say it's still not good enough, because they could be in cahoots. Maybe they want to come back together again. Maybe she says, he's a bad schayra. The second guy's a bad guy. I thought I'd do better. Really not. Then he comes back and goes, you know, really, we could have made things happen. So no problem. Just switch. And you'll say you got the receipt, and I say I got the get. Go to court. Ben says, we're not going to let you do that. Okay, Yud Beis. Now we come to some other interesting scenarios. Hamotzi, now we learned earlier that if a man has a wife who's been doing a lot of suspicious activities, he's supposed to divorce her. Remember, she goes, there were witnesses that she was in the Happiness Hotel with another guy, and they don't know exactly what happened, but it looked pretty bad.
Happiness is marine life.
Right? So, you know, that's pretty bad.
Everybody loves
it. So, you know, and like cases where the Bezin encourages you to divorce your wife. Not that you have to, but they really seriously encourage you to divorce your wife. So let's look at two of those scenarios. Hamos says, Isha Mishum Shemra, a man who divorced his wife because she has developed a bad name, because people, it's very suspicious that she had znus, or but we don't have it. It's not exactly. No, didn't warn him but it's suspicions. And we've already learned in Hilchus the Halachas before that such a woman in Hilchus Ishus you should divorce such a woman, and he did. Or Omishum Shu Prutz of Nidarim, she just makes vows like crazy. She's making vows left, right, and center, and making the husband's life miserable, and this guy doesn't want to be married to her, and shouldn't be married to such a woman. So he's going to get divorced. So now, the Bezin wants to be very careful over here, that we don't have future problems. So like I said, when you're going to divorce, we want you to add a clause that normally a husband does not have to add in a divorce, and this is what they're going to ask him to say. Over there they say, Hodia, inform us. Say it very clear. Besides the document that you're writing, tell us loud and clear the following. She mipnei zeh, because she was a bad woman, atamotzia kidei liyasra, you're taking her out to punish her. In other words, that she shouldn't be, that Jewish women should behave this way. Now here's the key clause. V'dayin, you should know, want you to know right now, she'ein atamotzirom, you can never, ever take her back. Even though according to Jewish law, when you divorce a woman, you could take her back, we want you to tell us, and I'll explain why in a minute, and we want you to tell us right now, and you're promising that you will never, ever marry her again, no matter what. Now, why you need this clause, you'll see in 1 minute. This you never do with any other divorce, just divorce her. But here he's divorcing her, why? Because she did behavior that warranted that a good Jewish man would divorce his wife. She's acting suspiciously promiscuously, or she's going crazy with the vows. So you divorce her. It's not enough, just divorce her. We say, listen, you're doing it to teach her a lesson that good Beis Yaakov girls shouldn't be doing these things. And you're knowing that if you do this, you know you cannot marry her again. Now why? Why do we say he can't get her back again? It doesn't seem to make sense, right? And let's say what will happen. Let's say 3 months later, we find out that she didn't do anything wrong. We find out the truth comes out. She never, ever, ever did anything wrong.
She's made this declaration.
But now he can't take her back. So why are we so particular about this? The answer is, listen to this. Gzeira, we're afraid of the following scenario that could happen. Shema Tinasacha, let's say she marries the second guy. And look what happens. V'tasa tshuva, and this is tshuva. with the second husband, she's dressed so modestly. She's always in the house. She's never even talking to another man. She's mamish, the most amazing Eishes Chayil in the world. V'yom Risha, now the first guy who's been taking notes and looking from a distance saying, he says, Ilu ha'yisi odea shekenu, if I knew she could have done such shuva, lo yisi, I would never have divorced her. Whoa. So it's like, although it isn't exactly, but it's like Vinimsakam and Gorish Al Tan, it's like he divorced on condition. But think about it. Why is he really divorcing her?
Because she's acting.
Because she's a promiscuous woman. But it's, so it's almost, it's, although it's not, but it's very, very close to divorce on condition. I'm divorcing you on the condition that it's true that you're a Zoyna.
That you remain that way.
But now that she sees, she's not, so it couldn't come out, the condition, Veloniskayim, the condition wasn't fulfilled. Shenimsa get balavril, make the get retroactively nullified. Therefore, we tell the guy, Gemor belip chalagorshov, concluded in your heart that you're divorcing her. She'enzu chazer sechola oilom. She's not going to come to you ever, even if she'll be at snua later on, because we're not going to want. Because obviously, this would cast aspersions. Now, the commentaries explain. Now, let's say she even had kids from the second guy, right? Now, the truth of the matter is, according to the letter of the law, the divorce is a divorce.
Yeah.
He really didn't make a condition.
Right.
It really wasn't. He's not saying, I'm divorcing you on the condition that you're a promiscuous woman. He's saying, I'm divorcing you because the business advised me to divorce you, and I don't have 100% proof. So then if later the guy said, oh, if I would have known, it smacks of a condition, but it's not a condition. But the rabbis are concerned that people will be talking and will say, you know, she really wasn't divorced. Really, she's now living with a man she lived with. Really, the kids are mamzerim. Not that they are, but aspersions will be cast. And therefore, you know, go for these kids, try to get a shidduch 15 years from now, 20 years from now. You say, oh no, that was the one, and I think there was something wrong over there. I think there might be mamzerim, because I think there was upset condition and this and that. You know, when you wait a few more years, Paul, you're going to start looking for shidduchim. You know how it's very funny. You could hear 10 good reports about a boy or a girl,
and hear one bad report,
and say, you know what, I'm not going to take chances.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take chances. Why should I take chances? I heard something. So they're going to say, you know, I heard she married a second guy. And then the guy said, really, was with a condition and this and that. And I think the kids are mamzerim, you know, if it happened so long ago, we stay away from the family. So therefore, we tell the guy right up front, you know, it's forever, no way out. No, even if she's a wonderful woman, afterwards, you're never going to have her again. So it won't smack of this to make a problem.
Is this relevant today, this halach?
I guess if he really was divorcing her because he had suspicions, he should, yeah. Now, but what if, so let's say he divorced her and he said all that. She did not yet marry a second guy. And the guy says, you know, I have second thoughts. Yeah. Even though he said, I will never marry her again, right? He said it. But what if he marries her anyway? If he transgresses and does what? And marries her, remarries her before a second guy marries her, lo yosi, he doesn't have to get rid of her. Why? Because clearly, he wasn't prohibited to do that. He's just saying, because we're telling him to say it, and he shouldn't have done it, and he's a liar, but there's no reason why he can't stay married to her. Yeah, but he already married her, you know, so the lesser of two evils. However, if the second husband already gave her a kiddushin, then he can't do this, and if he would marry her, would force him to get out of that, he can't do that. But Yud Gimel is the same halacha, so we can do it quickly.
So why would, in the parsha with the sota, why wouldn't the husband have that option?
Sota is different. He warned her in front of witnesses.
Yeah.
And two witnesses saw her do that. It only works if she was warned first. Here she wasn't warned. If he warned her, and now their witnesses watched her after she was warned, now she's a sota. But if the husband just hears, the guy said, you know, your wife was in the happiness of Talta guy. Oh, well, but I never warned her before. So then that doesn't apply. Now Yud Gimel is going to be the same idea, just one variation. What if a man divorced his wife because she's an islandess? Certain amount of time passed by, says she can't have kids. And the best is, you know, you can't live with a woman who's an islandess. when they got married. He didn't know she was not. Remember, it's something that can evolve over time to find out she's an islandess. So I was saying, you know, it looks like she's an islandess because she's, you didn't have kids and her voice is funny and her body shape is a little different, right? So she's an islandess and he's divorcing out of that condition. Let's say every time they're intimate, she bleeds. Can't be married to a woman every time you're intimate, she bleeds. So there's bona fide reason to divorce her. So same idea. He should divorce her and say, I'll never marry you again. Should say the same thing. He should never take her back. Same idea. Why? Same thing. Because Shemet, what could happen? Maybe she'll get married to somebody else. And looky here. The Taylor Islands. And look, this Islands went and had a kid. Huh? I guess she wasn't an islandess after all. The doctor made a mistake in his sock. Viti's dropping in. Let's say her blood condition got improved. What would the guy say? If I knew she would have, improved, I wouldn't have divorced her. Viti said, get bottle. Comes out the gets bottle. What am I saying? Kids are mamzerim. Not really mamzerim, but just in terms of bad talk, mamzerim. Vimavar asks him, what if he transgressed and marries her before she married a second guy? Liotzi, again, she doesn't have to leave.
Remember, same idea. Let me say it gets void, that's for 30 minutes. Right?